Hello and welcome to Faces of CI, Conversations in Contact Improvisation. My name is Aaliyah and I'm joined today by Ong, and we're back at Towards 51 CI Conference in Changdao, Thailand. Would you like to introduce yourself, starting with your name and where you're originally from?
My name is Ong Nitipat Polachai. I'm from Bangkok, Thailand. I lived in the US for 11 years. And the past 9 years, I've been moving back to Thailand and promoting contact improvisation and body to everyone.
Wonderful. And how did you discover contact, or how did contact discover you?
Yeah, it was a long story, but there was a certain time that I was into performance and dance and wanting to get into companies to get some experience. And my teacher just recommended contact improv, on the basis that it makes me more hireable as a male dancer to be able to do partnering and to do inversion and acrobatics. And that was when I was in San Francisco. Yeah.
Wow, amazing. Did you end up doing any of this dance company things in San Francisco?
I did, yeah. I was freelancing for many different artists, choreographer. It's a very very lively, vibrant experimental scene over there. And there was a bit coincidence that I would go to the city and take classes and like train on the weekend, but there were 2 months that I pick up a project in Berkeley, kind of outside, so I could not go to classes on the weekend. But there happened to be a CI class in JAM every Saturday and Sunday, so I happened to do a lot of contact, like through that time frame, and I met this guy Kyle Frost, really cool and. He's pretty popular in Europe, I guess. A CI-based choreographer, and he invited me to a project. We went camping. It's a bit like a mini festival with 20 people researching. So like that's one of the big source and discovery of the different shades of contact and how it can be meaningful for me.
Yeah, I see in this work this aspect of theater, which is fun to go into. It's like beyond performance, but the theater background as well. Can you speak a little bit to this interest of yours, or how this has been married with CI for you?
Yeah. It's one of the only, I guess, like the main or the only dance practice that stayed with me after moving back to Thailand. Mm-hmm. The modern dance, contemporary dance became a little bit less relevant, in a way, by like coming back to Thailand and just seeing contact as a lens to see, to observe human interactions in general and movement as kind of broader concept, broader study, broader research than just cultural, than just like style or aesthetics.
Yeah, we did, there was performances last year at Towards with you and Yucha, right?
Yeah.
You guys, tell us about this piece, because I think you were going to perform it somewhere and then things that got changed around and it was part contact. Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah.
You had big fabric and pipe cleaner crowns and you were saying different statements and it was like very much an art piece, but you could see the contact influence.
It's our main practice, like kind of like Ryuta and I are like kind of soul brothers through contact.
Yeah, because he's from New Orleans. Like, he's Japanese, but he lived in New Orleans for many years. And so, go ahead.
We have similar kind of archetype. and like kind of growing up in like like cross-cultural kind of places and kind of finding our way to fit in. And he met me in Bangkok, in Thailand, when he was the organic farming touring trip. And I was like, just happened to be doing contact. I mean, I'm the only one who's doing contact mainly in Bangkok. And we got in touch. We kind of like see each other, like a little bit of a glimpse of each other, like here and there. But actually last year was the first time we like fully committed to like collaborating and like spending a lot of time together. And that process was very interesting. It was like very organic. It's like pretty random, like how the piece came together, the project came together. By some activists, LGBT activists in my Bangkok network, like asking me to like do something in the Pride Month, and then I was already kind of having a lot of conversation with Ryuta during COVID time. We get more connected during COVID time. So strange. Yeah, and we just come into the to Thailand. He just came to, we arranged for him to come to Thailand, and we just go out together, go to the Pride, like hanging out with friends and kind of collecting like little bits of ideas or like the way people interact. And I did a bit of research about like the queer, the Vogue culture of like how like the different details of like how these like queer youth, they would go shopping for like a thrift store and like putting clothes together. And we kind of like draw on like this little bits and pieces of kind of what happened in the queer culture and kind of like situate it or like contextualize it to the scene, to the Thailand scene, or like the way we see the youth and our relationship to like as the queer uncles to the youth. How do we support, or like how are we different from them? And how what are the things we can share together, things like that. And obviously because that performance happened in the Contact Festival, so there were a lot of input from what happened inside the festival. I would be eavesdropping in the conversation, or like or just listening inside the unspoken circles where people share a lot of like kind of emotional or like the kind of hidden agenda feel. The realness of the space, and that kind of become part of what happened in the performance.
It was super fun. You guys had these big fabric strips, I remember, and you like encased us all, like we were all watching around you in a circle in very contact fashion. Of course we're in a circle, and then you like wrapped us in, and you were sitting on another like table but making these statements aloud, like a spoken. I find it so interesting. So, and I remember walking through you guys had the extra bathroom in the house and had to walk through to go eat. And then you just see these bags of pipe cleaners around. And I'm like, what is this for? And you guys were like, I'm doing a performance. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is something like alternative to have here. So it was really fun. Do you want to speak to like queerness and CI? Like how has this worked in Bangkok or for you? I mean, coming from San Francisco, it's probably more of a vibrant scene than here in Asia. I don't know what it's like. So
It might be a bit of a surprise that like I didn't have like a queer awareness into the dance when I was in San Francisco, because it was kind of normal. In a way to be quirky and like anything in the art scene over there. But somehow it kind of, this kind of queering as a practice or as an approach to expanding awareness from the normativity inside our bodies or habits, sort of like sneaked into my CI practice. Kind of just organically, without like I didn't feel like it was has to do with my identity, my queer identity, so
it's
much
just you.
At all. It just happened, you know. And it was like it's just some always when I teach class, or like when I give workshop, or when I rehearse, there's always this sense of like, what is the norm in the space, you know? What is the norm in our body, and what are ways to reinvent ourselves? And that's like queering for me. Or where is the stuckness? Where is the rigidity in the way we behave? And the practice become like finding ways to flow, to kind of like look at it in a different way. Like how can we shift things?
Yeah, and that's like curiosity.
That's a queering aspect of the practice. And then I feel like when it stretched out to like the full form of queerness, it's when we actually go and talk and touch like queer people and kind of listen and hear their stories, which are like really unique. And I mean, like it's like the otherness is like could be anything.
I mean, even at the beginning of this festival, we had, I think you were helping with opening circle, and we're like, okay, who's actually Thai, standing on the side of the room, and everyone else? Or we made a map on the floor of countries we were with, and then one of them was, if you identify as a man or a woman, and there was one person who was like, she just stood in the middle, and she was like, I don't really want to, like, you know, maybe do this, or it was just like, okay, even this is powerful in the fact that she stood in the middle, and it's like, this is also, I don't know. Not a category, but standing in this as well. So just having curiosity.
It's pretty difficult labeling. I feel like with all this labeling thing, it's very difficult and like traumatizing sometimes. And it happens everywhere, like without like we noticing. You know, going to a restroom, you know, and you see this like split everywhere.
And contact, it is very much like everybody dances with everybody. This is the way it's been taught, is we women dance with women, men dance with men. We dance with everyone in the room, and opening up our space to just stay with the principles and the curiosity of the body and the physics and the practice. So do you think in that way it could perhaps even be like healing to people to come into the space of this? I don't know.
It's kind of like yes and no.
Yeah.
Like everything, you know.
Yeah.
Actually the past few days we kind of deep in the festival, and the experience was like really revealing and illuminating and like just intense.
We're 2 weeks in, guys. It's like our last day and everyone's tired.
and the past few days I feel like I myself like struggling a little bit with the kind of trauma that has been kind of released. And also like the fact that I'm like one of the only Thai people in the space.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like questions about like privilege and like dance privilege. And like all these like really complex social issues, like kind of factoring in that people are feeling it, and it has a lot to do with sort of a sense of alienation, and like the kind of subculture aspect of CI that it is, you know, so it's like kind of a bit triggering for me to be like a Thai person there and having to represent or being asked this question that I also ask myself, and I and it's a process that I cannot just figure out in like one night or with one answer, you know, one sentence.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, is AI normal? Is this like normal or is it alien? And to what extent? It's like, it's not a black and white thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it can be shaded into many different aspects. And I feel like when we talk about identities or privilege or something that kind of tie back to like ourselves, the way we see ourselves, it's easy to like, we just feel really emotional, that's how I feel. So, and the past few months, I've been trying to like think about ways to have fun talking about it, or maybe like finding kind of get out of this sort of like human emotional trauma and patterns. So trying to reframe like all these privilege question into like an accessibility. Maybe it's useful to think or like to see that this CI festival are not the only CI space.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Sometimes when we're here, we're deep in it and we're like, wow, this is amazing. But we can't get it out everywhere. You know, you can't just have CI festival all the time, all year and everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. So, so I feel like it's about, maybe the question could be reverted to about how we can make like little CI spaces that for like different people, different crowd, different means.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not be so rigid about like what CI has to be.
Yeah.
Like something like this conversation also could be a way to feel connected.
How to find solutions of inclusivity? Is this maybe the question or something?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know in contact it's like we like to ask a lot of questions and sometimes not answer them, and I hope these interviews are kind of like, let's actually find the answers as well, because I know sometimes we sat down even last year and we're like, what are some issues that we're seeing as teachers meeting here in Asia for the first time after COVID? There was so much energy and aliveness, and we were raising some of these questions. Do you remember any of them from last year? Like you were raising them as well, like beautiful questions, and I was like, oh, I want to have conversations based on this, and now I don't remember. But
I feel like conference like this is a good place for the teachers or people, whoever who are active in like your or different communities, to find connection and finding ways to support each other, to enable access or opportunities for each other to enrich our community, like or each respective communities, or maybe there are other communities that could be brought up or could be like grown out of this conversation. Because I feel like the nature of the practice, we kind of like finding wherever we could find resource. So we become a bit sparse and kind of like here and there, or where it's like a bit more off-grid or less urban, become like a lot of people gathered there, right? Like Koh Phangan or like Bali, for example. It's a bit like out there. and you rely on traveling to these different places, and at some point it becomes like its own ecosystem.
This nomadic ecosystem. If you really want to be involved in it, you have to be cool with travel. This is part of it.
Sometimes
I wonder how many communities could I sustain and be a part of. Like when you think about, I don't know, socially, it's like, well, we really can only have like 5 friends, or like, you know, how the amount of people we can be close to. And so I think about like, what communities do I want to be investing my energy with that's open, and there's opportunities for dancing and growth and this kind of thing. So Thailand's become one of them. And do you want to share a little bit about the scene that you've been growing in Bangkok? Was there anything going on before, or like what's happening now?
The past 8 years, like the first period that I was active there, it was the format of like forming sort of like a company or like a local group, who most of us were like kind of from artistic and theater background.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, like, because contact is more like a supporting system of knowledge and body, and it's not like, it cannot be a star, you know, like it's because it doesn't have like a cultural position in Thai society in a way, you know? And theater people, they're like, they look at us and like, yeah, what are you doing? You know, they don't have a frame to look at it or judge it. And that was what happened in the first like 4 or 5 years. And at some point, the focus shift into kind of, art appreciation events, kind of a mixed, format of workshops and a showcase, incubation lab for artists. And we want to open up, to a bigger crowd. So it's not just about, oh, we're just gonna do contact and only contact, but it's about like how each artist can use contact as a place for meeting among ourselves and with the wider public, and even spaces like venue partners, going to like coffee shops somewhere out of the theater, conventional theater platform. And it's been very enriching and super interesting trajectory we had from 2017 to before COVID. It was like growing, and there's so much more audience for what we do now in Bangkok. Back then it was like people were like, what is this? And the theater people were like kind of almost like angry and like, but now it's like, it's so common. We could just like show up at some mall event or some like music event. They're like, oh yeah, they don't even question it anymore. It's like, it's become really common in a way. And COVID did make a huge impact on perception of people in Thailand now, especially in urban society, are more attuned to like art for wellness or anything to do with like spiritual uplifting, or kind of like a place for sharing space and feel safe, feel supported mentally. And CI is like one of the perfect answer to that need. So the need is growing. And I found myself being invited and sharing my work in the different kind of healing spaces. Different kind of like spiritual communities, also like wellness communities, the festivals that they want to bring artists and content that help people grow and feel more sense of belonging and we feel more grounded. So there's a growing sense of that. On the other hand, the challenges that we're facing, or we've been facing all along, and even now, is that CI is so like it's so alien in a way to kind of capitalism, at least in Thailand, in a way, or the system of knowledge doesn't have like, I feel like there's no infrastructure for Asian artists like me to fit into the existing economic system of CI. That's kind of what I see, and that becomes an obstacle for professional or career development for younger artists to find like how when are we gonna get invited to CI festival and be compensated for the time that we could not work, you know, things like that. Like, and I'm really using my privilege fully as like someone who has a regular job,
mm-hmm.
and can sustain myself from my like physics teaching, for example. This year so far has been difficult, but these years after COVID, I managed to negotiate some working condition that allows me to travel or to work partially online.
Yeah, it's like a lot of the teachers here do have there. You see them sneak off when they're on their laptops. It's not fully sustainable, unfortunately.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's something that we do struggle with and people don't talk about. But I love that you've been able to infiltrate and get at the art aspect of it, these people involved. Because it's always like, how do you pull people in? The wellness community is one of them, understanding like the yoga people and the psychology and this practice. And also looks like there's very vibrant like arts community in general in Thailand, of Thai people that really like appreciate art and make art, and this is so like I find rich among like younger people, so this is cool that it's been shared in this aspect and that's been bringing people in.
It's like this kind of like a side tracking of CI or adapting CI to the different contexts. Like the way I survived in Thailand with CI, I would say, was going into people who might need it, and they might have very specific, very specific needs or specific requirements. Like I went into a queer activist youth support group, and we had like some artists kind of coming out from that scene who like practice CI and applying it to like youth facilitation. I've been working with a blind actor, activist, and dancer who kind of positioned himself as like working in media and promoting accessibilities to and kind of speak for the blind people. And now we're kind of going to the next step. I don't know where how it's gonna roll, but by going into that really specific place and really meet people who needs it kind of allows me to work and create.
Just to share, I had I was at Salt Spring Contact Festival many years ago, and there was a dancer from Toronto who was blind, and you wouldn't know it from dancing with her until at the end of the dance, you know, she's like, okay dear, I don't know where my water bottle is or where I am in the room, can you help me find my water bottle? And you'd have to guide her back, but she's, you know, because they're used to this disorientation of like being, and it's just like you have to, she's more attuned to her body in a way, but can you share any insights you've had from working with this dancer?
Yeah, and I mean, in Thailand, it might be like a foreign or like alien like situation than kind of a more developed country where disabled people are more integrated with like normal society. In Thailand, like blind kids, they would be put in like a special school. Until middle school, like high school, or high school, where they have an option to go to like a normal school. So and in this particular kind of segregation, they become expected to study like academic subjects.
Mm.
And the kind of like life skill, social skill, artistic skills kind of like out of the window, wasn't part of the education in a way. And the education system is a bit corrupt. Just like all the bureaucracy thing in Thailand. So the resources or the basic needs that they should learn wasn't able to like reach them. Yeah, through this whole like kind of system. I feel like the first few months of spending time with Toffee, the blind dancer, was about getting him to feel really safe to be outside. To be like on the floor and like really spread his toes and feet on the floor and be able to fall, to roll, to not be afraid of the space. Yeah, and there were periods of what we need to do over the time, and one of the first questions that I instigate was I have to kind of like ask and agree with him what is technique, you know, we keep refining what technique means. Yeah, and at some point it become about like whatever that allow us to express who we are and like what is our need. And not as something that's aesthetics or some kind of like culture that's just purely culturally based values. I mean, for blind people, part or in the Thailand context, part of the reason for coming to dance and train is about catching up with society. Yeah, and to feel confident, to feel I'm part of society. And that's like kind of the first sort of like intention of coming to dance. Yeah, and apart from having fun, of course, like everything we do, we need to have fun. We should have fun to do something extra like this. Yeah, and then the expression, the representation, the sharing comes like in the second step.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break just to talk about some exciting new projects coming out. So we have Contact Body. This is a online contact improvisation course I've been working on for many months. It's based off of the beginner's workshop I've been teaching in Ubud. It's split into two segments. So Solo Body is all about solo improvisation. There's Bartini with fundamentals and floor work and somatic practices, and it's really about tuning inwards to your own body. And then Two Bodies is about learning contact improvisation partner work. So these are two courses that are completely self-paced and available to purchase online for you to learn from home, the beginning foundations about contact improv. So if that's something that's curious to you, the full details are on contactbody.ca, because I'm Canadian. And you can learn all about that, and there's a promo video. And also, please check us out at Faces of CI on Instagram for lots of inspiration and more about our interviewees. We'll be back soon with our latest guest. For now, I wanted to share a dance game oracle deck, that's right, that I've created and invented called Fortune Score. So what is Fortune Score? It's a deck created for you to dig deeper into the practice of contact improv. And as a self-professed tarot and contact enthusiast, I blended the two to be used as an educational tool for facilitators and contact improv fans. This game has been played many times in Bali at jams, so much so that one of my students asked me to make it into a deck, and I have, and it's received a lot of positive reception. So it's effective to be played at a round robin, a festival, or a contact jam, or you can also pull cards as you would for an everyday oracle deck and take the theme with you as you would move through the world. This is a deck of scores. As you may or may not know, in improvised dance, we often use a dance score, which is the suggestion for you to keep in mind for yourself in the dance. Each card offers you a fortune, like you'd pull from a fortune cookie. And these are prompts I've gathered from a variety of places, mindfulness, 80 sci-fi books, teachers and trainings I've had, and a lot of them I've honestly just made up. So a fun story behind the deck for some history and context. Paxton held some of the first performances in contact improvisation in New York City, where they danced for 5 hours a day for a week at John Weber Gallery, and audiences were streaming in and out, seeing this performance of what would become contact improvisation. And in preparation, Steve went to Chinatown and had fortune cookies made with an invitation inside. Dancers went around handing the cookies to people on the streets of New York. And the fortune said, come to John Weber Gallery for contact improvisations. So this is my ode to that sense of humor, a tongue-in-cheek homage to the origins of CI. And it's my invitation for you to come and join the mystery of the dance. A limited run of decks have been printed. You can grab your deck of fortune score online. There's a link in the show notes to our Instagram at Faces of CI, and you'll find out where to buy them there. Grab yours today and
And we're going to come back to our episode with our latest guest right about now.
I'm also curious about your background. So you're a physics teacher?
Yeah.
This is very pertinent to contact in some ways. Sure, sure. I don't know. Do you have insights from this? Like, how does this overlap as well? Because this is like, oh, like, contact is based on physics. This is Paxton. Yeah.
I was trained as like a hardcore, like, experimental physicist. Who actually model experiments. And prove it, test it, and kind of like
scientists.
Coming up with some like scientists,
okay,
like research scientist track, which helped me once you become a physicist, your brain is wired in certain ways. So look the way we look at the world, not as stories, but as like systems and links. And,
I can see this even in your conversation. You're like, the systems of this and this, and I'm like, oh, this is now making sense of how Ong is because he's a physicist. Yeah, go ahead.
Like abstractions and like kind of reforming the network of like how things are connected.
Science.
Yeah, and but what really linked physics into dance. I mean, that kind of systematic system thinking already like become my curiosity of approaching CI.
Yeah.
Or like linking how I approach CI from physics perspective.
Yeah.
But also the my profession as like teacher, meaning the role of coaching or like giving consultant to people, helping them learn, or like building a team that they can tackle a problem together. Using kind of cooperative tools through empathy, through communication, all of that kind of like blend and merge with contact. Yeah, very nicely. And really, these two aspects of me as a physics teacher, like problem solving teacher, and dance, really like blend together and make it as a whole for me. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I could see in the class that I attended, you had this paper diamond that was like, this is some sweet origami. It was like rainbow, like different shapes. Of course it's rainbow. But you were describing the spine based on this like diamond. It was such a curious, I'm like, this is very creative, but also like, I don't know, explain this one thing, because this thing somehow captivated me. What is this thing?
It could be so many things.
Yeah, it was a diamond, like, but you're explaining some things in contact, and I haven't seen that before in a class. So I was like, this is cool.
Yeah. It's like an object that has a lot of just the visual, spatial, kind of mental information that you can associate with the how you can understand or like picture space.
Yeah.
And how your body like sits in the space and that relationship, but at the same time, it's a physical object that has mass and structure, alignment and orientation to gravity.
So
you can actually look at it and like have some imagination, have some kind of like question, like, oh, maybe, and then you can actually touch it and check, does it work that way? Maybe it's like kind of, you have to match that kind of reality of sensation.
Yeah,
and the picture that you have. So yeah, it's something I was curious about and put it as a question for people to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this particular workshop that I shared here this time, it has a certain specificity like of like my intention to think about more about accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, I mean, there are canonical exercises of contact or like canonical concepts like expanding like kinesphere, you know, or like rolling, you know, or small dance, which has been practiced like for a long time, 51 years. and it becomes a question of like, yeah, people learn like in different ways, right? And knowledge is not just like a monolithic thing. It's like when someone learns it, it becomes like their own articulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this particular workshop, I was curious about like kind of contextualizing and creating like this kind of access to physics.
Yeah.
as like physics and contact, there's some relationship to it.
Yeah.
And like we can learn physics through contact and we can learn contact through physics.
Yeah.
And also another half of another half of the class is about what does it mean to you, and how whatever it means to you, how can you share that with your friend?
Mm.
Yeah, and kind of like be like turning the class or the practice into like a peer practice or like a sharing, kind of like, oh, we're gonna find out something, and there's no one definite answer, but at the end we're gonna share. And
yeah.
we're gonna reap the benefits of the practice into your own, integrating into something, some meaning for each and everyone in the space.
So interesting, because it's like contact in itself is very much, it's always been a research practice. It's what do we do with bodies throwing themselves in the air?
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a research. So yeah, to bring this into context in the classes is super useful. And also just this, I don't know, I find it so interesting that we're also always trying to make meaning of things, like myself included and everyone. Like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? So satisfying this level that's within us.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I feel a tension, a creative tension between like the need, like including for myself, to conserve. Or like to continue the legacy of contact.
Yeah.
Right? Like all the technical like brilliance.
Yeah.
Or the rigor of the physical practice. And in my point of view, or just my experience, I used to be a really technical teacher, like extreme precision. But I feel like back then there were no contexts for me to present the technical physical technique or aspect to my students who were performance artists and like dancers in Thailand back then.
Mm.
Yeah, and now it's like so much more open, like so much more possible to really like dig into, okay, there would be a section in the class I taught in my course, like, okay guys, this is like a classical, like a very technical part, and if you can do well, this is like really the fundamentals. But before that, I had to like kind of build why we get to this point and help them appreciate it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just this quality of sharing. Yeah, it's always interesting. Like, how do you integrate everyone and get people involved if they have no clue what this is? This is all this is the forever question. Like,
yeah.
I haven't been able to. I think it's also affordability, and like Balinese are very much their dancers, and they're very technical and precise, and they're so rich in the tradition of what they've already created for centuries. It's ingrained
mm-hmm.
into, you know, you drive around in the streets and you see people, like young girls practicing on the side of the road in these buildings, and it's everywhere. But yeah, being able to integrate more Indonesians has been somehow difficult. There seem to be more from Jakarta or other like wealthy
mm-hmm.
families that come through and that have a background perhaps in art or something of this, and they find that the practice through art, it seems to be some way. And then I moved to a community that's more surfers and yogis and try and comedy. I've been trying to integrate the comedy improv people because I think there's a crossover in this, and they're like, what are you doing? Why do these, they just make jokes. Why do these people just touch each other? You know, they don't get it. So how to make it accessible. It looks like you've basically like looked at what's already there and then made it applicable in a way to the
mm-hmm.
people that are there. So this is the, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Your way of sharing is wonderful. So yeah. Okay, so what brings you the most joy in contact?
I think the most joy? I would say connection.
Mm.
Like being connected to, like, not just other people, but connected to the earth.
Mm.
And, like, some parts of myself that I may not know, or I may assume that I know, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
And that brings a lot of opportunity and learning, I would say. I think curious is like a state, but then like the learning, it becomes, it really accumulates for me.
And any other, like, what's your current curiosity besides physics? Is there something new that you've discovered in contact, perhaps from the festival or something in the last couple of weeks?
From the festival. a lot of things. That's why it takes me time to crystallize. Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I feel like this conference in particular is very fruitful for me to see the different kind of facilitation, the very diverse approach of teachers from like Russia, from Japan, from China, like just to see how everybody's doing with contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it's so rich and so diverse. Because sometimes when I the first festival I went to was WikiJam in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. Back then it was like really focused around the Western USA.
Yeah.
Right? So it was just kind of it was diverse, but it was more like separated into like topics, very idiosyncratic topics that people were into in that area. But it's still like kind of fallen under the interest or the flavor of American culture.
Yeah.
Kind of the love for nature or the kind of a racial division or some is about like inequality, you know, or like about the universality versus the differences, you know, that kind of all fall into that very specific topics. That is of concern to US.
It's polarizing, and I feel like in the US in itself can be like that. That's they like things to be polarized. They like a good polarized story. I've realized this good versus evil and all of this stuff.
Yeah, but
it's
like,
anyways, yeah. And here it's different. It's just sharing from the culture of what people have been cultivating in their own communities, which is beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's just the source, like our sources, respective sources, are so diverse. And so kind of like everywhere that it's like interesting how just a simple body, this some singular body practice could kind of connect these different sources of culture, the kind of like more primitive view of nature, you know, kind of factor into the teaching. Whereas actually I would say when I trained in the US, like we didn't use like so much like image or like kind of cosmology of river, water, rock, stone so much. It was almost like analytical.
Yeah.
The way I train.
But it's to each community what they're developing, and there's value in all of it. Like for a long time was like, technique coming from Pacific Northwest as well. Vancouver, it's very all about the technique and how you break it down, and that's kind of how I share. And I've leaned more into things like authentic movement and creative play and dance and all of these other things that support the practice as well. But yeah, opening ourselves up to sharing what influences us, and transmitting the context of transmission in a way. Any favorite classes or moments in the festival? We're at the end, so I think we're all kind of digesting, but a lot of people are just body tired at the same time. But what feels alive for you?
Well, I didn't attend everything apparently. I really enjoy Yasukichi's class.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something I'm still like, how did it happen?
Yeah, like, it's very what? Sweet when I how did it happen? Her, just such a quality of sweetness.
And just having random conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's something that doesn't happen like in real life so much.
Yeah, hanging out. I like the festival because like. Oh my god, I get to hang out with people. We're not like, can I schedule you in 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're all here. And yeah, in this nook that we're in, it's kind of beside the big dance tent. And some friends were... We just had a reading night. I think a bunch of us were just tired laying around here. And then one girl had a book about acts of creativity. And one friend was reading it aloud. And that was... one of my most nourishing the side fringes of a festival of all these things happening. It was a sweet moment of someone reading aloud and memorable, but not contact.
Oh, I remember one moment community. Like that for me too. So after the first part with Ming Shen Ku, she's amazing. Like that whole kind of a more compact festival experience where everyone's doing the same thing, same workshop, and just 4 days, and very focused, it creates like this like kind of really cohesive kind of feeling. And then, just right after, there was a group of like queer Asians, four of us, kind of like formed, one is like a film director and a bit of an activist, like she organized Pride in Shanghai, and another is also a kind of in the theater group, and another is like a guy from Vietnam. And we had a queering nature kind of practice, and together just go in the river and like and feel nature like in a queer way. And we had this text from like philosophical, theoretical, quantum, feminist text from Karen Barrett in the library. So we took the printout, the article printout as a dance partner, and we would just read them, and moving and passing around. And read the words in a non-linear way. It was like a nice, interesting experience to play.
Making up your own score.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a group for you. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. And all the things that happened, when we dance, we get so close and so connected that something, we transformed. The experience and the body has transformed. So when we talk, when we share like kind of other experiences, like eating together, sleeping together, hearing each other's stories, it becomes very, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and very, very involved because you're so connected already. So the past few days was quite... It felt like a whole year has passed.
Yeah, I was saying this to a few people yesterday. It's almost like you're living in an aquarium with a bunch of fish or something, and it's like a month of... It's like 2 weeks of experience feels like 2 months. It was the same way when it was towards 5 weeks last year. Now it's 2.5. It's half as long, but it still feels like double as long of like life experience because so much happens in a day socially, being in a bubble, and it's a wonderful opportunity for learning about people and about yourself. You have so many mirrors around you, like really, really rich.
Looking forward to unpacking.
I don't think we can actually unpack in our last days of digestion. It has to happen in the world after. Well, thank you very much, Ong. I'm so happy to have you on. If people want to find out more about you or your work or the scene in Bangkok, how would they find you?
You can follow me on IG, Spine Party. Spine as the skeleton of yourself, the middle temple, and party is a party. You can find me on IG or Facebook.
Yeah.
And there is a page, a group, called Contact Improvisation in Bangkok, where we publish news and updates, and you're welcome to also to ask us to include you in the messenger group with all the updates.
Wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you very much.